All right. So, have either or both of you guys ever received an unenthusiastic blowjob before?
I didn't realize there were other kinds, Nick.
Oh my God.
Well,
Wait, what?
I feel bad for you, Sean.
Oh man.
I've lived a
That's gotta
sheltered
be
life.
this show.
Gotten.
Oh, wait. Hell, that's where we are.
Wait,
Okay.
let me explain something to you. I'm the dude.
What is it?
It's the one that said bad motherfucker.
Who throws a shoe? Honestly.
The first rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.
We're sending you back to the future.
Well, hey, I was listening to a couple episodes. I went to go get my oil change today. I had it on, and I realized that our shows, like, when left, like, unplayed, and then, you know, when you start one and let it go, it just goes to the next podcast on just about any podcast.
Oh, yeah?
And these work seamlessly. I was like, holy crap. It's just, like, one episode ends, and then it's just, like, such a casual, like, have you ever measured your penis with a ruler?
Guilty.
It's like so
Guilty.
Funny. It's like when you listen.
Wait,
to
you
it.
Only have to use one ruler?
So this is like probably one of the better podcasts to just leave, you know, as background because it
well,
just like
you know,
starts
it's,
and
it's like unintended genius. You know, we're just that good.
That's
you're,
actually
you're
my
welcome.
Genius.
That's actually my nickname.
It's a stroke of genius. Or two.
Oh, wait.
Or three.
Are we still talking
or,
about...
Or...
if we're talking about
penis.
Stroke... Yeah, I was going to say, if we're talking about stroke of genius, have we moved from blowjobs to handjobs?
Oh, man. I'm glad I permanently set it to explicit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can't change it now.
It was set on meant for kids. Oh, shit.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
So, let me say what we have going on, and then we can... You're supposed to have a story about the O'Doyles in some fashion.
We'll get to that. I think we owe it to our fans for a good old fashioned. We've done it. We've gone a couple episodes without having like a true intro. So
all right,
bring us in.
Wait a minute,
Nick.
That's what I just said, Jordan. I just said let's.
Like the post intro. You know, it's like
oh.
It's like the whole bit, which I'm assuming we're past that now in the edit, and then you go. What the fuck's up, you film cinephiles? You haven't done that in a while, and I miss it.
All right. Ready?
Do it.
Hey, cocksuckers. We got a couple of movies to talk about. All right. No. Let's not.
All
right. Try it again.
I'm leaving that in.
All right. Leave it in. But don't forget to take it out. Okay.
Okay. Don't forget to pull out.
Anyway. And that's no offense to... people that like to do that. I'm just saying.
This is going to be the longest fucking episode.
All right, here's the intro. Ready? All right. Hey, you movie fan flick watchers. This episode is going to be about drinking and movies.
Yes. And so this is a special edition of Flick of the Week. It is happy hour edition, my friends. I'm Jordan No More.
I'm Drake.
And today we have a special guest.
Podcast Sean.
And we're drinking and talking about drinking movies.
Podcast Sean. What's up, Sean?
Nick, thank you both for having me on. I guess I'm the designated drunk. That's why you invited me, right?
Hey, first
oh, yeah,
time,
definitely.
Long time, buddy.
That's right.
For the true Flick of the Week fans, Sean has made a silent appearance before.
Many times.
Because
couple
when
times.
We...
Mm-hmm.
Couple of times. Silent but deadly, this guy. But he...
yeah, this time it won't be coming out of my ass.
Well, oh my God.
Yeah, might still be pulling it out of my ass, actually.
What was the... what was that episode that we filmed? It was about... What was it about? Do you remember?
Well, the one where we did it in the studio, Sean was there. And the one
yeah,
where
that's
he was in your apartment. I remember that. Maybe there was more. I don't know.
Yeah, but specifically, there was the one where we filmed in studio. I forget the
it was
topic.
Kevin Smith.
Do you remember the topic? Kevin
yeah,
Smith.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Good stuff. But Yeah, today we're talking about drinking movies, and I have a bit of podcast news just to get out of the way for our whatever remaining fans are still sitting here after all that bullshit.
After hand jobs, blowjobs, and cocksuckers.
That's what we call our fans. What's up, cocksuckers?
Isn't that what, what's that one that he calls them assholes? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, I don't know. Mark Maron? He calls them what the fuckers.
No, the guy we had on.
What?
The guy we had on The Minimalist. The comedian. Andrew Schultz. Yeah, he calls his fans assholes. What's up, assholes?
Like, we could do it from, like, the woman. There's not enough women in these innuendos. Like, we could be like, hey, bean flickers of the week.
Yeah. You keep flicking.
We'll keep picking.
We'll keep picking.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Wait, is this a drinking one, or are we going to be talking
about
sex?
I mean, this is how, by now.
You know,
that's true.
Good things come.
Oh, my God.
That's it. Good things come.
It's all good innuendo.
Good things come to those who wait,
hey,
Sean.
Beauty it's is all in the eye of the beer holder. Just
there you go. Yeah. Cheers to that. What are you drinking, by the way, Sean? Or Nick?
You know what I'm drinking.
Kilt Lifter. Arizona Kilt Lifter Brew.
See, I'm jealous. Not to say that what we're drinking isn't great. We're drinking Blue Ribbon.
Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Ooh, Blue Velvet. Right there.
Just slightly Pabst. Above Nat.
Blue Ribbon.
Pabst.
But, Sean takes like a hit of nitrous.
Hang tight.
What's going on here? Baby wants to fuck! All right. Here's the deal. Podcast news. This is Flick of the Week podcast related. We are thinking about switching, and Sean will probably help us with this. We're thinking about switching providers. Our current provider that makes our podcast, that hosts our RSS feed, it only has like a limited amount of storage. So if you are a true listener or a new listener, you'll notice that our episodes only go back on the podcast feed to episode 17. Mm. Everything prior to that, you can find on our YouTube channel. Just YouTube search Flick of the Week spaced out, and you'll find it. So if you want to go back into our archive to the episodes that I'd consider the Old Testament, that, like, please don't listen to those fucking things.
So it goes back to last season, though?
It goes back to it goes back to last season. That's up right. to 17.
Mm. So no Halloween. I don't think Sean even knows about some of this shit, and it's probably for a good reason.
It's for the best.
Do we ever air that? Remember the Halloweenchel
Halloween
debate?
Special?
Yeah. The Halloweenchel debate, as you coined it.
Halloweenchel debate.
Yeah. I was like, I don't know that word. You're like, Nick, it's Halloweenchel debate. I'm like, okay, all right, fine.
I'll drink to forget.
Drink to forget.
Sean, we had a debate on, like, horror movies, and I brought a very simple argument, and Jordan didn't argue anything in the debate. That's how it went. He's like, yeah, all right, you win that one. I'm like, what? No, debate.
Oh,
the
man.
Horror was the episode.
Yeah, you know.
The horror.
We were young and dumb and needed the money.
We didn't get any money, but we were young and dumb. Wait a second.
Wait, what?
I guess all of my paychecks have been diverted to, been routed over to Nick.
Now you know,
I knew
right?
something was up.
About that.
About that. Well, so moving on. That was it. That's our little piece of news. So if you notice that our episode started episode 17, maybe. That's the unfortunate
Changing
truth.
Changing that up a little bit.
Yeah, but that's just the way it is. We might switch over our RSS feed. I don't know how that'll work exactly, how the transition will be, but
yeah, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. We're not going to bore you with the
yeah, we won't go into all the
mimbo
details.
Jimbo. Let's move on to drinking movies.
Let's bring up a couple movies and then get into the O'Doyle business.
We have our own little list over here.
Oh.
And it might cross over, so I'm going to let you take the lead, and then we'll take the next one, and we'll kind of bounce around and debate, if you will.
Yeah. Oh, if, that'll
because
go
we,
so
we
well.
Have kind of... You know what, Nick? This is a drink a presidential debate. I can't think of anything. Anyway,
I don't even know where he was going with that.
When people swing and miss, they tend to just bunt, if you catch my drift. But you go right for it, pal.
Well, let me start this off with I have we over here on the LA side have stumbled upon a potential debate of what classifies a drinking like a drinking movie.
A
right?
drinking movie, yeah, versus just a party movie.
Yeah, how do we with discern drinking in it? That?
I thought that we could, you know, I don't really discriminate on that. I just throw them all in, you know, if it has something to do with alcoholism or alcohol, drinking movie.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, we have a list here, and we think some are more like tried and true drinking movies, and then others are more just party movies, right?
All
right.
Mm. That's fair enough.
But let's you lead the charge there, Nick.
All right. Well, then I'm just going to start with my favorite then, which would be Barfly, starring Mickey Rourke.
Yeah.
And it's about the life. It's not a true biopic, but it's basically the life of poet Charles Bukowski.
Yeah.
Like, so much so, if you watch interviews with Charles Bukowski, there's some that are around on YouTube. Mickey Rourke has done such a good job. I don't know that he's ever been given due credit for this role. This was, like, before his career took that downturn and had to work his way back up to The Wrestler. And he was doing great things. The reason why he's a household name was during this era. So
Nick, that was right around Barfly. Correct me if I'm wrong. I want to say 83, maybe.
Sounds about 1983? Right. I didn't have.
And that would have been
his early 80s.
Right around 9.5 weeks, right when he did 9.5 weeks with Kim Basinger.
I think it was 8.5 weeks after that. 9.5 weeks. Because he 87. Wasn't
7.
It was 87.
Yeah, you can tell that. You can kind of tell Mickey Rourke's career by how he looks, because he started really skinny. And he's never been, like, really fat or anything, but he's just bigger because of roids and whatever. He was, like, a professional boxer at one point, and he just...
Yeah, wasn't he... I'm sorry, not to interrupt you. Okay. I was just... didn't he start in Diner? Was that his first role?
I don't know if it was his first role. But, early, he was in Diner. He was in 9.5 weeks. Man, he was in some Francis
Pope
Ford Coppola movies.
Right,
Pope of Greenwich Village.
Greenwich Village, yes.
The Pope of Greenwich Village.
The Pope of Greenwich Village.
That was a good one.
Society. That's it.
True, definitely. Wow, we're looking at pictures here.
It's a great film. That's a great choice.
He still looks like a human in this movie.
The acting in that movie, though, is just right on.
Superb.
It's like right after Rumble Fish, Pope of Greenwich Village, 9.5 weeks. A lot of people didn't like that Angel Heart, but I think that's just because of the times, to be honest with you. And then Barfly came out right after.
Who was Nick? That was Angel Heart. Didn't that have
Robert De Niro?
Brain farting. Well, what was the wasn't that the Cosby Girl in that one?
So the big thing about that movie was it's like a devil movie, voodoo kind of like Chinatown noir all mixed in one movie. I liked it, but it got a
Lisa
lot of...
Lisa Bonet.
It got
That's who I was thinking of. I'm sorry.
Lisa Bonet, Aquaman's wife. went, I'm pretty sure, like full frontal in that movie. Mm-hmm. And everybody knew her as the cute Cosby kid. And Mickey Rourke kind of tainted her back when that movie, that word meant tainted.
Yeah.
And,
so there's that.
Yeah.
Barfly. So I'm the only one in the group that hasn't seen Barfly.
Oh yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah, it's a great film.
There's probably a lot of people that would listen to this and not know this movie, but it is just a true gem of a film. It is like when you see true stories and things like that, you really look at the actor to see like how close they are to this real person. And Tom Hanks, you know, he does a great job, but he's, like, admitted, he's like, I'm pretty sure, like, I didn't get any of this down. I just tried my best. Mickey Rourke, he became Charles Bukowski. It is eerie to, like, see an interview. Mm-hmm. And he was just, a drunk. He worked at a post office, if you know anything about Charles Bukowski, and he was a poet, and he wrote dark, dark themes. He had a pretty shitty life. And, like, whenever he got something for his writing, he'd blow it on gambling and hookers and blow and alcohol. And this movie just, it goes all out with that, so.
Well, I'm stoked to watch it. It looks like...
Yeah, Sly Stallone's brother was in it. Frank Stallone.
That's right.
Yeah,
we're looking at... Frank Stallone was in it.
Yep. It looks like it's on Vudu, if anyone's interested in watching it. Yeah.
Well, not free, I don't think. It's not free? Yeah, I think you have to pay for it, but...
Okay, well... Still, yeah, that's where you can watch it.
Yeah, no, that's a great entry. Yeah, Butterfly. I forgot all about that.
God. Well, I got no qualms. It sounds like a great flick.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to jump really right ahead to, I think, Sean's favorite drinking movie, Beerfest.
Beerfest.
All right.
Broken Lizard.
See, I would think you guys would put that in like the party kind of film. Right there.
You see... This is the thing, though, is that the actual plot has something to do.
It all revolves around.
It revolves around a recipe of beer.
There's a plot line in there about like this beer, this missing beer recipe that they're trying to find, but it essentially comes down to a secret beer contest amongst all the countries of the world, and the United States with the Broken Lizard team ends up getting roped into it.
So I can see that, I mean, on our side, I don't know about your side, Nick, but so to give an example of like Barfly and Beerfest are definitely drinking movies. They're movies that center around drinking.
Yeah.
Okay.
But here's a good example of one that probably doesn't, it's tangentially is related, is classic, and I'm jumping ahead on our list, is Animal House. That's more of a party movie. There's drinking in it.
Yeah.
But it's a party movie.
I would never put that as a drinking movie. Because, I mean, there's just drinking in it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But it's there's still, like, a good amount of drinking in it. Like, and there, I think there's a beer run, right?
Okay.
Yeah,
there's smashing of the cans on the head.
There's a massive beer run, yeah.
I don't know, like, the level of drinking in that movie and just how it's portrayed, like, that would mean that Waiting would have to be a drinking movie.
I guess so. You see, that's where we opened up the can of worms of like, okay, what does classify?
Well, I guess with Animal House, my argument would be since it revolves around a frat house.
Yeah.
And, you know, almost every scene that has them in the frat house, they're drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Or in or out of the frat house, they're drinking.
Well,
so.
But you think about it, and it's all around a party, though. Like, nobody's just drinking at a bar in that movie. So, like, when they go to the bar... They got that, who the hell is the name of the band that plays? And it just turns into a party, though.
We were just talking about that. Yeah.
Morris, no? Was it Morris Day? No.
No, that's, you're thinking of Morris Day and the Time was, Kevin Smith.
Motherfucking Times.
Strike Back, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. They had Morris Day and the Time. it was... God, what was it? I can't. Otis Day in the Nights. There it
Otis
is.
Otis Day in the Nights. There you go. Yeah, I was.
There's Otis. Thank you, Google.
Thank you, Google. Well, Beerfest. What do you think about Beerfest? I haven't seen it in a while. We were talking about doing about watching Beerfest recently. Fest, we never got around
watch
to
night.
It.
I mean, I like it. It's like a movie that seems to, or at least it did for a while for me. Just control the FX channel during the afternoon. This time, Beer Fest! And it's like the perfect edited for TV kind of film for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I kind of looked at it as not as good as Super Troopers. And that's always kind of stuck with me. But, you know, it's worth a watch.
That's kind of the problem. And the great thing about it is that it's all of the minds behind Super Troopers, but then the problem about it is that it's all the minds behind Super Troopers.
Well, I think the problem with that Broken Lizard ran into is, unless you count Puddle Cruiser, which I don't, if you look at their filmography, they pretty much knocked it out of the park on almost their first film, right? I mean, most people don't even realize Puddle Cruiser is one of their films. So if you the Super Troopers, if you assume that most people recognize that as their first film, well, they just completely knocked it out of the park. So if you do that on your first outing, everything after that, right, gets compared to that first thing.
You know what was then, really cool about it, though? They did, like, crowdsourcing for the sequel, and I was, like, so not looking forward to it. I was like, man, I don't... I mean, it was cool. Like, Die Hard 4 came out, and they made another Rambo, and it was okay. It wasn't, like, so saturated. And now it's like, you liked this movie 20 years ago. Here it is again. But I was actually very surprised. I don't think it was better than the first, but it did not leave a sour taste in my mouth whatsoever, the Super Trooper sequel.
I liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Second one.
I think it was one that it didn't, and correct me if I'm wrong where you are with that, Nick, for me, it's like it didn't blow me away.
Right.
But it was still a good movie.
Well, I was planning for it to suck because most of them do. Yeah. And it didn't suck. You know, so
yeah, surprisingly, because they even their budget, you know, their crowdfunded budget was incredibly low. Even by like the standards of what they had for, let's look at the exact numbers. So
I think the reason that is, though, is because that lessens the studio influence. Like the people True. Like what oh, you 100%. Brought to the table, not what the studio did. So. Mm. I mean, it was not as good as the first, but I don't think it can be since we already have such a high expectation and we don't want it to succeed past the first one somewhere in our mind. Mm. But it felt like the creative control was still there. Jay Chandrasekhar, you know, behind the reins again. And it panned out pretty well.
Well, the first one was...
3 million.
So the first one was 3 million, but that was back in 2001.
Yeah, 2000 or 2002.
Yeah, and then that's like $46 billion.
Exactly. So the budget for the second one was $13.5 million.
True.
So,
but
which is all crowdfunded.
Really low.
But then also, right? Like when you have the sequel, and you want product placement, it's a lot easier to get. Like, oh, well, this movie did well. I could throw in a couple shekels. Here you go, from Pepsi to you.
Yeah.
Well, that goes back to what... So I was telling Jordan about this, Nick. I don't know if you're familiar with this quote from William Goldman, the screenwriter, the guy that was behind The Princess Bride and Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. He said that sequels were whores movies because you're just going back for the money.
Yep.
I hope this isn't on one of the deleted episodes, but I believe there is a formula. me and you have gone over this, Jordan, is it has to be a movie that is like, okay, but there's a charm to it or some element that brings the masses to this movie. Mm. Sonic the Hedgehog is probably the best example of this movie right now. I think another great example would be the John Wick franchise. The first movie was not spectacular, but it had some cool stuff. It had the people behind the Matrix doing all the stunts, and you can see it in the film. And what it needs to do is just ride that decent but not shitty line, make a profit, and then the sequel has a chance to be better than the first. Bad Boys 2 was a great example of this movie. Bad Boys 3, terrible example. So
I think we're treading on something we already talked about, but I love talking about it. I feel like the problem with sequels is generally that they try to make the same movie again. And I think that you need to have like a continuation, you need to move on. And like those examples that you're talking about, I think that's what there's a huge difference between Bad Boys 1 and Bad Boys 2. And it's like I think Bad Boys 2, they were just totally unleashing what they set up in the characters of the first one. And they like, you know, went crazy. They weren't holding back. I think that was, what's his name?
Yeah, John Wick Bay. 2 is
Michael Bay.
Same example. Cause the first one was all family driven. The second one didn't have that motivation. So nobody killed his dog. Nobody killed his wife. Like it's a totally different reason he's doing these things.
It's like, let's just go back. We got a bigger budget. Let's blow some shit up.
That's right.
And then also, they were just so honest with them. They weren't lying to themselves.
Well, that
about what John Wick was.
Yeah,
that's true. And people love The Matrix. Like, the third movie, it's doing so much for the fans. It's like, I need guns, lots of guns. And everybody was like, yes, it's Santa. Goddamn, kill him, Keanu.
That's awesome. Anyway, but did you hear that they're making a new Matrix?
Yeah.
Did we already talk about this?
Mm. I think me and you mentioned it, and I'm not trying to toot my own horn here, but I feel like I'm one of the few people that gets the Matrix. Like, people are like, how do they do the sequel? And I'm like, why wouldn't they? And everybody's like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, the movie ends like a computer restarting, so there could be another The One. And then I told this to my dad, and he's like, whoa. I'm like, no, not whoa. It's pretty apparent. So, like, it shows, like, ash and fire restarting into, like, a green, like, forest and all that, and or whatever, cityscape. And I was just like, okay, I'm the only person that gets the Matrix. And my dad was like, don't be like that. And I was like, hey, you're either a zero or a one. And he's like, shut the fuck up.
Well, Nick, congratulations, you're special.
I am
and
the
I
one.
Mean that. You were the one on the short bus.
There can only be one.
There can only be one, because the bus isn't that much, not big enough for two.
Oh, that's funny. How's that jerk-off session you guys got going on over there, by the way?
It's circular.
Okay.
It's circular.
Between two guys?
It's like a flat circle.
Well, we worked it out with Jeff,
hey,
too.
My cat,
the shortest
Jeff.
Path between one point and another is a straight line. Just saying.
True, yeah.
Dang.
This beer's
smart
good.
Guy over here. Sounds like it. It's really kicking in. We're on. Well,
whose turn is it?
Sean's on his second. I'm about getting there too myself. Pabst just kind of goes down like water though. So
Pabst is like, it's hard for me to get through the first, and then I don't taste any of the rest. That's how Pabst is for me.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, it's gasoline, and I'm like, it's not that bad. Wow. Six beers later, nope, still. Oh god.
This stuff's great. Slams down on the ground.
Have you seen Dave Attell?
Comedian? Lately, no.
He just has like this great like drinking joke. He's like, you hardly ever see any commercials for Jaeger because it fucks people up so badly. I have a commercial. Okay? So a man wakes up naked in the forest, covered in blood and mud. He wakes up, looks out, and says, did I just eat a hooker? Jaeger.
Oh, my God. It's perfect. We were talking about, Clayton and I have talked a lot about making commercials for products that don't have commercials, and one of them was Arrogant Bastard Ale.
Oh.
They don't make commercials, and I'm like, that would be perfect.
My wife, her cousin worked for them. And also one of the other California ones. It's pretty crazy. Like, they have, like, T-shirts and shit, like, the whole family and some free beer. Every time we go to California, it's like, there's that. It's kind of weird.
Well, drinking movies.
Drinking
Who's
movies.
Turn?
So
is it your turn, Jordan?
So
we kind of dropped two over here, right? So it's you
beer
now.
Beer Fest and Animal House, yeah.
Yeah, you're up.
Oh, wait. You're up, Beer Nick. Fest and then what? What did you do?
Animal House.
Yeah, Animal House.
Okay. We put that in there as, like, you know, just a... A wild card.
I pick Flight. Denzel Washington, Robert Zemeckis.
Flight.
Yeah,
that's a serious movie on the list.
That's another.
That is like,
but it totally falls into the category.
Yeah, it's like, this is what a drunk is. Like, so many movies are just like, he's a drunk and like he's like skating through life. But I think this one, and if I get another turn, the other movie, do it perfectly for alcoholics for real. Because they actually function like normal people until they don't. Mm. And that's what a lot of movies get wrong. They're just like drunk the whole movie. But really, when you're an alcoholic, you have to get drunk to look normal. And Denzel Washington puts that out so well.
Mm.
Well, that's I like about that movie,
I forgot
too, is
all
that,
about
they,
that one.
They frame it in such a way that it's not really vilifying Denzel for being an alcoholic.
Yeah.
There it's like a formality of going through the due process of, like, you know, figuring out what went wrong with the flight. But he did save those people, and he just did it in an unorthodox way. So it kind of paints him in a way that's like he's a good guy, right? He really, you know, or
I always just thought, like, that movie pointed out that this is, like, legit a disease. Like, there's good-hearted people behind it that just have a problem. And yeah. I thought that movie did it pretty well.
Well, what were you looking up there, Sean?
I was trying to find... So maybe Nick knows off the top of his head. Trying to think of the actress. What she's
From
been
Flight?
In. There was another, as soon as you said Flight, there was another one I associate with that, and I guess just because it's one of those, it's a little bit of a darker take on alcoholism. Mm-hmm. It is, did you ever see the movie Sky High with Kurt Russell? You know what I'm talking about?
Kelly Russell?
But remember, I can't think of her name, the actress that played the, basically the bad guy.
Is it Bella Thorne? Or was it... I can't remember.
No.
I haven't seen that movie since it came out.
Oh, I got it. Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Oh, yeah. So, she was just in Gemini Man.
Yep.
Yeah. She was in Smash. That's what it was. Smashed. Did you ever see the movie Smash?
No.
Pretty sure I have. Sounds familiar.
2012. It was... is really, really dark. Same kind of thing, like with Flight, it was a really dark...
Aaron Paul in it from Breaking Bad?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd never heard of this.
Yeah, it's really good. It's dark, though, you know, because it's like he's just trying to... I mean, she just keeps falling back into old habits. So...
that's got to be the... that's got to be the you know, the definition of a beer drinking movie. Married couple whose bond is built on a mutual love of alcohol.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's good. It's just a really dark film.
I like watching that. And, like, my wife will be like, these movies are stupid. I'm like, your movies are stupid. Really? Channing Tatum's only way out of the streets was learning how to dance? No, that's retarded. Like, this movie is real. And then I slept
on
the couch.
Hey, man.
But anyway, I won the argument, though. I went down swinging.
Oh, wow.
It's funny that I completely forgot about that film right there, Smashed, until Nick said that about Flight. I don't know why I associate the two, because I don't think there are any actors or
It was
well,
cool
it probably does that. Go ahead,
it has Nick Offerman and Megan Mullally, who are married in real life. They were both on the Parks and Rec together, the other Tammy. Yeah.
My God. Well,
Nick
Offerman,
that's,
I mean,
my favorite character ever. Ron Swanson.
Ron Swanson.
Yeah, we here at the...
I think you didn't hear me correctly. I said, bring me all the bacon that you have.
So I was going to say, here at the Chevy Chase house, we have all the bacon.
Mm-hmm.
We have all the bacon. But... No, yeah, we don't shy away. A flick of the week, we don't shy away talking about the darkest of shit.
No. Yeah. And I thought that's all we did for a while.
Dark shit. The first episode was about Black Mass.
That's right.
The one.
I wasn't on that episode, but I heard it.
Yeah, the maiden episode of Flick of the Week was myself and Clayton when we talked about Black Mass.
Wow. But Johnny that Depp. Episode will now
dark
be
dark stuff.
And I will assume Clayton.
Were you in cahoots with our provider, our RSS feed provider?
Like, yeah,
fuck these
one.
Episodes.
No.
He said, Nick came in and said, those are non-canon.
They are not
canon.
I refuse
to answer.
Right.
Yeah.
They're apocryphal.
Oh, man. Well, that's a $5 word.
That is a $5. Well, that's about a $10 word. Are you kidding me?
My
apocryphal.
God.
Who's next?
Where are we going next? We have Flight and kind of threw a tangent in there with Smash.
Speaking of Flight and the direction that you went with that, the whole idea of Flight was another way of a dark movie that sympathizes with the alcoholic. Mm-hmm. Like, it kind of paints a picture of somebody who you really are rooting for.
Yeah.
It's not just like stereotyping. And a good example of that is Leaving Las Vegas with Nick Cage.
Damn it! That was the movie I was going to pick!
Is that
was my other one, yeah.
How can you not, right? Yeah. I mean, well, scenes like him going through the liquor store just filling up a cart full of booze. But
you see what my I mean? Like, part. It's like another yeah. character that's like, he has to get drunk to be normal. Mm-hmm. And like, mm-hmm. the scene where he's at the bank, I was like, that's a fucking alcoholic right there. He's like shaking. He hasn't had a drink yet. He yeah. comes back after a couple tremors. And cashes that check like nothing.
Mm. My favorite part is when he's asleep. And he wakes up, and that was just, like, jarring. I don't know why it's my favorite part. It's kind of sickening to think of, but he's just, like, asleep, and he wakes up shaking, mm-hmm. and he's like, I forget exactly the line, but he, like, has to, like, barely make it to the kitchen just to grab a bottle and then put it down and then goes back to bed. This is medicine.
You're kind of a sick bastard, you know? Jordan.
I'm a sick bastard.
No, he but enjoys I also like watching the very others first, suffer.
Wait, what?
I said you enjoy watching others suffer.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. That's is there a name for that?
Human sadism.
I know, like a sadomasochist.
Calling being a sadist.
A sadist?
Yeah, masochists are ones that like to do it to themselves. Yeah. Sadists like to
see. I like to be comfortable, human but I like to watch other people suffer.
Or if you like both, yeah, you're a sadomasochist.
Did you just say Jordan Moore's favorite movie?
Human Centipede. I've said it like in the background for like 12 takes now.
Now we've really gone off the rails.
That's human centipede.
It's a different type of drinking.
I'm just like, one of these two schmucks are going to hear me eventually and then like, they'll laugh about it.
Man. Who are you calling a schmuck, you schlep?
The one behind you.
Well, guess what time it is?
Beer
number two.
Beer o'clock.
That means I'm my voice is slurred and my opinions are losing validity.
So you're at 100%. Okay.
And lucidity.
I'm at 100%.
And lucidity.
Lucidity says another $5 word.
Validity and lucidity.
The silent lucidity.
Right. So what's next?
Well, I just want to say, Nick? I think that is Nick Cage's and Elizabeth Shue's best film ever. Like, yeah. I don't think I've ever seen anybody better than that. Leaving Las Vegas.
I would also wager that was the turning point for Nick Cage. That was
maybe he was that in was a couple.
You're saying he never rested there.
I feel like he gave it all to that movie and then never got a chance to do to be an artist.
Did he?
Again.
Did he get an Academy for that? Did he get the Oscar for that?
I don't believe he did. I could be wrong.
Oh wow!
But I'm pretty sure
he should have.
No, I would
came
say
after that.
I think it's fair to say that era was the best for Nick Cage. He's actually made a couple recently that are not bad and actually pretty good, in my opinion. But
I've yet to see Mandy, but
Mandy and Joe. Joe is a great film.
Oh, never even heard of it.
Yeah, I won't spoil it for you. You should definitely check out the trailer, though. It's okay. It's really good. It's very dark too. So, but
dark.
Yeah, he did the Kiss from a Vampire. He did. Mm-hmm. Rumblefish. He did this one movie. It was like really good, like crime drama. It had David Caruso and Samuel Jackson, and he played like a gangster. And
is this Snake Eyes?
No, that I didn't like that movie.
Really?
Fuck. I'll look at it. Somebody else go.
80s?
Is it early 80s? I want to say
early 90s. Trying to think what it might be.
What did you used to say? It's like look this up while I pander.
Look this up while I pander. He plays like this gangster dude that he hates eating with like silverware. And he's like, in jail, all they gave me was silverware. I eat my food with my fucking fingers. And like, but like, and it's weird because it's not like a Marvel movie and he doesn't have his shirt off or anything. But he's like working out in crazy shape for this film for like, no apparent reason other than to look like a menacing gangster.
That's weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, somebody else go.
sometimes I think it's ridiculous the amount, the length that people will go to get in character. I mean, I believe in method acting to a certain extent, but like particularly I came across
you believe
a little
in like Jared Leto sending rats to your fellow
dead
rats.
Yeah, I think that's
Kiss of Death.
Kiss of Death. Yeah. Okay.
Well, I mean, excuse me. I think that
that kind of kill.
Jesus.
Whoa, good Lord.
Excuse me. I burped away from the mic. I didn't try to.
Good Lord.
I was being
polite.
That was
away from the mic?
Is that right?
I have resonance. Yeah. I can you know how whales can hear each other from miles away from under the sea.
Yeah.
I can burp and communicate. My mom knows that I've been drinking now. Yeah. She's back in Phoenix. She's like, "What the fuck?"
Echolocation.
your argument for method acting and then my argument against.
What's your argument against method acting?
Oh, one of my favorites. Go back to Nick will know this one. Marathon Man.
Yeah.
Marathon Man with Dustin Hoffman and Laurence Olivier.
Is it safe?
Yeah, is it safe? Mm-hmm. Well, evidently the story goes that at one point Dustin Hoffman was coming to the set in the morning and he ran like 6 miles that morning before they even started for the day. And he came in just exhausted. And Laurence Olivier, who's, you know, more of a traditional actor.
Is this the movie where that happened, that argument? I didn't know that it was this movie.
Yeah. So, yeah, Olivier, you know, Olivier is a very traditional, right? A very traditional actor as opposed to the method acting of Hoffman. And Olivier noticed that he was just exhausted. He's like, "What are you doing?" And Hoffman's like, "You know, I'm supposed to be a runner, so I ran." And Olivier said, "Try acting."
Yeah. They got in like a big fight. And apparently during the filming of Hook, him and Robin Williams became fans and they would be like shit talkers to each other around these kids. And like, oh, I guess God. Robin like a couple times said, "Try acting." And Dustin finally kind of laughed it off. It was like kind of like a closure thing to him.
Yeah.
It's funny. Yeah, that what I was getting at is there's I saw a weird little note today about End of Watch with Jake Gyllenhaal and Michael Pena. And I guess they went on 4 months or 5 months of 12-hour ride-alongs with cops to get enrolled in
here in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I'm like, isn't that putting them at risk?
Yeah.
That's not even. At a certain point, that's not even
maybe not
prepared for it's, a role.
Maybe the guy stops shooting and he's like, "Is that Jarhead?"
I know that guy.
It's the Bubble Boy.
Yeah.
Pop him. Bam, bam, bam.
Pena, I thought you were a member of CHIP.
Oh, my God. Too soon. Literally at the time, it was too soon. To
mm-hmm. That's true.
All right, what's next? Was that us?
I went, and then you went, and you skipped Sean.
Oh, well, Sean and I have a list, a shared list.
Do you have something? That one there is mine.
Oh, you want to drop? All right, Sean,
go on. Yeah, that's kind of a rarity. I want to see if I can get Nick on this one.
What is?
All right, Nick, Strange Brew.
Oh, shit, okay.
How about that one, buddy?
Caught him with his pants down.
Did you?
I wouldn't characterize it as a party movie. Yeah, I would say that's okay. If Beerfest is, Strange Brew is.
Yeah, yeah, it's still. Well, I mean, it the whole plot of Strange Brew, for those that haven't seen it, it's Rick Moranis and Dave Thomas. This is right after. Actually, they were probably still in the midst of SCTV. So they had this thing. So a funny story about how Strange Brew came about. It came out in what, 82? Do I have that right?
It was
83. Okay.
I'm going
to say 83. Loosely, the plot line is basically Hamlet. But what they did is they were on SCTV in Canada. And the way Canadian TV worked at the time, I don't know if they still do this, that for every show that you put on that got some kind of like government money from Canada, you had to do 2 minutes of Canadian content. They didn't care what it was, but you had to inject 2 minutes of Canadian content. So when SCTV was on, which was essentially the, you know, Canadian version of Saturday Night Live, they didn't have any Canadian content when they originally aired this thing. They didn't have anything prepared. So Dave Thomas and Rick Moranis dressed up like these stereotypical Canadians. They got flannel on, they got toques on, which are basically just, you know, the hats with the balls on it. And they would sit and just talk about Canadian stereotypes. They would talk, they had a big map behind them that said the Great White North on it. So they'd always be talking about the Great White North, which of course is just Canada. They talk about drinking beer and wearing toques and eating back bacon and donuts. And that was the whole shtick. And they built an entire movie around this called Strange Brew. And then okay. Strange Brew was, yeah, the Canadian Corner thing in SCTV grew into
kind of like a Strange Brew. A Wayne's World kind of story.
Just yeah, the Canadian yeah. Wayne's World, really.
But that's actually, that's perfect, Canadian. Nick.
And Dana Carvey. What the?
But it has its moment. It's still a great drinking movie because, like, the whole thing revolves around this brewery called Elsinore. Yeah, which is a blatant, of course, you know, Elsinore in Hamlet. Mm-hmm. So yeah. This brewery and the two of them get into this whole thing where they're basically this master brewmeister played by, who was it again in there? I'm looking at the list. I'm trying to think of his name. Max von Sydow. Sydow. Am I saying that right?
It? Yeah. I thought it was Sydow and then somebody.
Is it Sydow?
He just recently.
Yeah. Sydow.
Yeah. So he was like the head brewmaster and he's basically putting like this mind control stuff in the beer and they're going to distribute it and they kind of fall into this whole plot and, you know, Rick and, or, they go by the McKenzie brothers, right? Rick Moranis and Dave Thomas, their characters are Bob and Doug McKenzie. And they fall into this whole plot where they have to basically foil a Max von Sydow. I'm going to butcher it every time. But anyway, they...
Sydow.
Yeah.
Max von Sydow.
They have a real funny... They have a real funny sequence early on in the film because in Canada at the time, all of the, and I think it may even be the same now, all the beer and liquor were sold in state stores. Mm-hmm. And so they go in and they're trying to get a free case of beer. And so what they did is they stuffed a baby mouse in a bottle. And they're like, yeah, we found this mouse in this bottle of beer, so we'd like to get a free case of beer.
Oh my God.
And then it goes, and then it goes off the rails from there, so... That'd be my entry for my...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure those guys both directed the movie, too.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it shows that we're looking at the IMDb right here.
Yep.
I wonder, was it that movie or Canadian Bacon that came first? And I'm, like, pretty sure that one...
Strange Brew first.
Strange Brew, yeah, I'm pretty sure, like, that Canadian Bacon came after the success of that movie. They're like, oh, let's do another Canada funny thing. And guess who directed that movie? Anybody know?
Michael Moore, yeah.
What?
I think it was his only fiction, right? Fictional piece.
Non-documentary.
I think it's the non-documentary. Only movie he ever actually made.
Movie.
With the late and great John Candy.
That's right. I love that.
It might have been his last one.
The scene where they're all talking about, they're like, No. I'm pretty sure I know who's the best in the Dirty Dozen. He's like, enough of this Dirty Dozen stuff. How about Dirty Dancing? Huh? Anybody see that movie? I'm like, that had to be like John Candy just messing around.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was...
Definitely. Anyways.
So, yeah, Strange Brew would be my, let's say, dark horse entry.
Okay.
Dark horse entry. What's, what you got, Nick?
What would you counter with, Nick?
I'm going to say The Hangover, man.
Yeah, that's good.
I think the first is still the best. I liked all of them.
Yeah.
100%.
The first one, it's kind of a remake movie, and this is, like, the perfect example. Take a movie that had some appeal, barely any, but some, and then make a remake of it. Don't take a movie that's already been so successful, then try to remake it. Mm. It's just stupid. Hangover does this very well. Todd Phillips also made Old School, which I would say is more of a party movie, if we're going there.
I'd agree with that.
But yeah, The Hangover, man, it's just... Three people on a bender trying to figure out what the hell's going on. That sounds like drinking
to
me.
Where their friend is, right?
Yeah.
Where's Dave? Or no, it's Doug.
Doug.
Our Doug is a white.
Wait, what?
He's like, our Doug is a white. And he's like, hey, knock it off with that shit.
Black Doug.
Black Doug.
I like that part where he has like a hospital thing on his wrist and he's like, are you okay? He's like, yeah, I'm right here.
So that was, so that was Todd Phillips, right? The same director as the Joker.
Yeah.
Or Joker.
I don't really like the Joker, but hey, everybody knows my opinion on that by now.
What?
You know what? If that's the case, Nick, you get what you fucking deserve.
There you go. The Hangover.
Yeah, the Hangover was was
like,
fantastic.
Really, that's weird though. Like Scorsese hates like Marvel and comic book movies. And like Robert De Niro's like sitting there with him for The Irishman, and the Joker comes around for best actor, and he's like, just like nobody cared to speculate on that night.
I think Scorsese actually really praised the Joker.
Did he? Okay.
I think he really liked
it.
It's not about, that's the thing, is that you can't look at somebody as binary just because he's like giving shit to this huge box, like blockbuster company that's making these huge, paint by numbers superhero flicks, and then switch over to Joker, which is like you gave, you know, an indie. These indie people got a chance to make a movie that's like that has a big character in it, but it's completely reimagined. It's essentially just a movie about like a psychopath that has mental health problems. It's almost a shame that it's a movie about it's supposed to be identified as the Joker from Batman anthology.
Yeah, but
it's almost a shame because
in Scorsese's defense, Joker was under DC compared to Marvel. So does DC really make superhero movies? I mean, let's be honest.
Dark Knight. Hello.
You're about to start some shit.
So
Dark Knight really started.
Scorsese was kind of right there, right?
If there's anybody here that's non-binary, it's me. And I'll tell you, sir, I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt, but if what he said was true, which a lot of times they're not, I used to not like Tom Cruise because of something he said about the military, and I found out that it was like completely taken out of context. And I was like, okay, well, I'll watch Mission Impossible movies now. But but he's like saying like, you know, they're like theme parks allegedly. You know, it's like they're not movies.
Have you watched the clip? I've seen the clip many times, and I totally side with.
You're saying with Scorsese?
Yeah, Scorsese is totally right.
Movies, man.
Yeah, it's been a little bit.
Well, that it doesn't matter
now who's
if you
binary.
Do or don't like it.
Now who's binary?
I'm talking about opinion. It doesn't matter if you do or do like it. It's his opinion, and I happen to agree with that.
Well,
but he cut me off, man. I said to give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm just saying I think his movies are theme parks because people are only going to see them because they think there's some crime drama behind them. Tell me how that's same side of the coin. Like, really.
Yes, that's true, but you cannot escape becoming a stereotype of yourself if you are in the business long enough.
Well,
and
it goes back
to
the whole
different stories.
Dark Knight thing, right?
Okay, here's a case in point.
Dark
Quentin
Knight.
Quentin Tarantino completely reinvents his movies every time, yet they're all the same. And there's always his tropes that fly in there.
Dude.
Even though he's an auteur that has like never picks
Marvel.
The same story. I'm willing to bet he does shit on Marvel 100%.
I'd say the only problem I have with Scorsese saying that, for at least for me, is that like you and I and Nick sitting here saying it wouldn't mean shit because nobody cares what we say, right? Mm-hmm. But Scorsese saying it, that guy is a titan of film. Mm-hmm. So for him to shit on something like that, people listen. Mm-hmm. They take his opinion seriously, and And it's fine that that's his opinion, and he should have expressed that more, that, hey, I'm old school, so in my opinion, this is how I see it, instead of saying they are.
Yeah. Well, to clarify, what he's saying is that he's comparing the Marvel movies and that Marvel Cinematic Universe as a theme park, a theme park ride, in the sense that they're purely based on entertainment. It has entertainment value. It's supposed to be separated from the idea of what true cinema was, which is
I watched Guardians of the Galaxy 2, and I'm like, no way that's fucking true. There's no way. They brought that character Yondu in such a crazy character arc that any studio would be like, why the fuck are you doing that? But James Gunn did it, and it was awesome. Yeah. And
it was
like the soundtrack, it harkens back to, it's a real film, dude. It's a sequel. Yeah it's crazy shoot 'em up stuff, but you know, at the same time, they have to sell some tickets, and if Martin Scorsese's not up for that, then I'll eat my hat. Yeah. You know, but whatever. I've seen
Bringing Out the Dead. Now it's great.
I've seen Hugo. I've seen Bringing Out the Dead, and I've seen The Irishman. And to me, they were all dog shit. And
like, man, woo!
I didn't say good.
Shots fired.
I like Wolf of Wall Street, but I'm just saying he's. I think he's missing some stuff, and I don't know that he's even seen more than just one Batman movie. How do we know?
I'm willing to bet he's seen them all. I bet he loves them.
How do you know he hasn't just seen Justice League and basing his whole opinion on that movie? You know what I mean?
Oh, please don't do that.
Well, I mean, I don't. If he just saw Justice League, I don't think he would be polite enough to just say it's as good as a
theme
park ride.
They're all dog shit.
He's like, yo, I saw that Aquaman throwing a spear at a giant fly. This is not good.
My God.
I imagine him as a dirty Italian casino manager.
Dirty Italian.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, Nick. Well, that's like your opinion, man.
Dirty as an under-the-table business, like his films. Crazy people.
Well, what else you got on the list? I think we got one more thing.
Wait,
I got another.
What did I? Didn't I just
semi dark horse?
I did Hangover.
You did just go. We have one more on our
I
list.
I got a semi dark horse for you, so I know we're kind of.
I've never Jordan heard of it, so it's totally dark horse to me.
Oh, it's dark horse. even more so than Strange Brew. I might have picked one that actually you and Nick have not seen. Mm. I'm going to go with Jeremy Piven and PCU.
PCU, what was that one?
Oh.
I never even heard of
this
one.
I'm pretty sure I've seen this on HBO before.
Yeah, it's
1994.
94, yep.
Was it's this where he's like in college or something?
Yeah.
Okay. A high school senior visits college for the weekend and stays at the wildest house on campus in his classic tale of anti-political correctness.
I'm like 99% sure that because of this movie is why they made Van Wilder, if I'm not mistaken. It's like...
It is pre-Van Wilder. Yeah, it's. We'll go back real quick.
It's like that scene. Yeah. Like, if it was a blockbuster, those two movies could be next to each other.
Yeah. So, Jon Favreau, early role for him in it, very close to when he did Swingers. David Spade.
It's funny.
Yeah, it's Jeremy Piven's Animal House is what it is.
Man, I wish that guy was around. I loved him as Ari in Entourage.
Oh, Piven. Yeah.
I watched that show just for him, man. And it's like, I guess he kind of went a little nuts or something. But,
Well, you nailed it with the description. Yeah, it's very much like an early, it was their early run at Van Wilder, but with Piven.
Yep.
They had to walk before they could run.
Yeah. It's probably, I mean, there's a shitload of drinking in it and smoking and everything again. So there could be an argument that this is not really a true drinking movie. It's more of a party film, but
I would say
it's one of,
I mean, I haven't seen it, so.
Yeah. It's kind of close to Accepted too. The movie Accepted with Justin Long.
That kind of falls into a party list.
Yeah, well, you could do an entire college episode about just, you know, college party films and...
Project X.
Yeah, Project...
I love Project X, man. When I saw that movie in theaters, I was like, this is such like a great... This should be like an A-list star film. And
you know what's funny? That came out at a perfect time. When did that come out? Because I'm pretty sure that came out when we were all still partying.
Same director as Chronicle, right?
It came out when EDM was new.
Yeah. 2012. Okay, so yeah, I was totally...
I thought it was earlier. Okay.
I felt like that too, but I was totally in the throes of a party phase.
Yeah, that came out right before I deployed. I remember because I brought it with me. That is a funny
movie. Really? I thought... Oh, yeah. Well, I guess that is... What is it? He's not known for much. American Ultra.
Yeah.
The Party Only. Oh, that's
Project Fat Kid X. From that movie. Yeah. Like, did another movie called Kid Cannabis, and then he like did porn, and like the Hollywood was like, oh,
oh really?
Well.
Whoa there, buddy.
No one. You know, when I said that Jonathan nobody wanted Daniel to Brown. See a fat ass on television before, I didn't mean it literally.
Oh my god. Yeah, Kid Cannabis. Well, yeah, right. I got to see that one.
Yeah, I haven't seen
that. All right, snowflakes. Come on.
Wait, what?
You're getting on me for every little thing I say.
Yes. Yes, we are. Yeah. Oh, well, PCU.
PCU, yeah.
That's
again,
then I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm the king of walking away from subjects. Anyways, beer movies.
This is making me uncomfortable.
Anywho.
I don't know. Let's just pause here awkwardly for a moment.
Right, I'm sorry I said the thing about being fat and that retarded thing. But you laughed really hard at the retarded thing, so I thought I could keep going.
That was an interesting creepy whisper there. All right. In other news,
that was perfect.
Actually, when I was in Phoenix last, I purchased a glass pipe for smoking tobacco. Everybody,
yeah, that's correct. Now we're in California; you don't have to worry about that here. You can say it's for smoking grass.
It still sounds funny, but it's.
I'm saying grass from a 47-year-old perspective. Yeah. Do you guys call it grass?
Is that shit
Do the kids
groovy?
Call it grass?
Is that groovy? Is it far out?
Yeah, oh, there you go.
Are groovy you swinging and, hip, dude?
Yeah, swinging hip, dude.
No, I piped. I smoked. Right. Yeah.
Anyway, I'm
but
a
going back.
I'm excited.
Well, do no, the big I, reveal
I,
of what it is.
I purchased a glass pipe the other day in Phoenix, and it's a Pickle Rick.
Oh. Yeah.
It's a spot great. On Pickle Rick.
It is. It's pretty great. It's even designed in such a way that it lay like the face is on the bottom, so that like to use it, it's like, you know, like you would set it down with the face facing down. So then it's like, turn me over, Morty.
Pickle Rick.
This is the line from
Pickle Rick.
Yeah, I'm a pickle. I'm Pickle Rick. I can't do it. I can't do the impression right now.
The Rick and Morty fans out there.
Oh,
yeah, they all hate
man.
You right now.
Including us.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
You. It's like, you're butchering this.
You
yeah, exactly.
Shut your mouth and just smoke your bong.
Shut your mouth, but open it to smoke your bong. My God. So what's next, Nick?
Would this be a good time to bring
else?
Up the O'Doyles finally?
Yeah, I could tell you
I
a story.
Guess now, since you guys are being so tepid with your responses, now I have to apologize for all the shit I just said on this episode.
Yeah.
We're not being tepid. We're just over here quietly drinking.
You're like Homer Simpson's, like backing into bushes, like over there. I didn't mean any
Definitely.
Of it. It's all theater for the show. Anyway, I'm fat.
You know, once
just saying. Go ahead. What were you talking about? Oh, the O'Doyles. You have a story.
Yeah, O'Doyles.
Yeah. I mean.
So what's the O'Doyles?
So
oh, he doesn't know.
Yeah, I'll fill in. So we can kind of fill in.
I mean, I'm familiar.
Sean
Are we
about
doing
what's
the
going
Billy
on.
Madison stuff.
We use them as a doppelganger for or kind of a what would you call that a name
it,
like a fill in.
It is
name.
Like our Pulp Fiction. Like they, me and Jordan have like sifted through each other's lives in the background until we finally connected. Mm-hmm. Like. Vega and I can't remember his name, Willis in Pulp Fiction.
Oh, okay.
Just like,
yeah.
And the O'Doyles is a family that I was friends with since grade school. I was friends with the youngest.
Just to clarify, we're not, it's not actually a family named
O'Doyles.
O'Doyles.
No.
We're using
this
that
is
as
a stand.
Using that to protect the not so innocent. And
okay. The not so innocent.
And that guy. Like, screwed me over. Became kind of a shitty friend. I later banged the oldest of the family before my deployment. She was a shithead because she said she was going to write me and didn't tell me she had a boyfriend. And I went overseas with that in my head. Meanwhile, the other sister, number three out of... Or I guess number two, if we're going... what do you call that? chronically.
Yeah.
She has a tattoo shop and became like a superficial like model. But I did Uber Eats and found out that that was all fake because I delivered to their house on a whim. And Jordan...
This is recently.
Yeah. And Jordan used to date a girl that worked for the shop of that girl's husband. And then the other brother, he didn't like me because he found out I banged his older sister. But his wife went to junior high with me and like started texting Jordan on the side. Just slid right into Jordan's DM. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's where we're at. It's nuts.
So yeah, the I guess the story I have is the origin story. So like
the origin Batman story. Begins.
So it's yeah. Now we're doing a prequel. Okay, it's the only way.
Well, it'd be good if it was directed by Christopher Nolan.
Yeah. See, the plot is a circle. We're gonna start at the end,
you guys, in
and
circles.
Then go to the middle, and then come back to the end.
And we're gonna tie this into drinking.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. We're gonna bring it around. Actually, this is
it does
yeah.
it. Okay.
Oh,
it
this is genius.
Drink. Okay.
It's like Nolan was sitting here, like you know, with his like godly hands on our shoulders, just like pointing us the
he
right
was like,
direction.
Yeah, let's craft this like memento.
Yeah,
and just
he's got like his memento note
place.
Cards there. Like nobody read a script. This is it.
Yeah. It just. It goes there and
this
back
involves
again.
Tattoos, right?
Yes.
Okay. Get the fuck out
so,
of here.
Yes.
Yeah, right?
It does. This is fucking nuts. This is our momentum.
Well, I'm going to just say on this episode right now, my name is Nick and not Ted before anything stupid happens. Go ahead.
Okay, Ted.
Memento fans will appreciate that joke. All three of them.
All right.
It's just us.
All three of the
fans. Yeah, all three of them
just
here.
Us.
It's just us. Well, anyways, so there was a period in time
mm-hmm.
where I was, so for timeline's sake, it was like 2006, 2007 that I knew Nick and we hung out in school, in high school.
Okay.
Then there was a falling out, never talked to him.
There was a falling
totally...
out?
Totally. No, there wasn't actually, I mean.
I just thought we didn't really hang out.
Just a drifting apart.
Circles. Yeah.
It was just a drift.
Okay.
No falling out.
Yeah.
A drift away, if you will.
We just went our, you know, like the end of every high school movie. It's like, and they all went their separate ways, and Johnny died.
Just me doing
cancer.
A fist pump on the football field.
That's funny. We just watched the end of that.
Yeah, we were just looking at the. We were just watching the
For
end
the
of
characters'
that.
Names. Yeah.
But no. So that was like 06, 07, or yeah. 07, 08, probably more realistically.
Okay.
Then we didn't talk to each other. And then in the era of 2011, 2012 is when I was dating the tattoo artist.
Mm.
And I was at that shop. I was okay. at Bleep Bleep Tattoo
Bleep,
Shop.
Bleep. Okay.
to leave it all out. The O'Doyle's Incorporated.
O'Doyle's.
O'Doyle's Incorporated Tattoo.
Yeah, we're not talking alcohol. We're talking
right.
O'Doyle's.
Yeah,
O'Doyle's. Yeah, but no. So yeah, I dated her, and during that time, I knew the other O'Doyle's, and they kind of came and went in my life for about 2 years, and then there was a period where I wasn't with her, or. You know, it ended. And then...
Don't tell me you banged the other sister, too.
No. Eskimo cousins. No.
oh, boy.
No, there was a period of time where I lived with Paul Mitchell. Do you remember Paul Mitchell?
No, but you were talking
you
about
another
episode. I don't know. Wait, is he, like, blonde?
No, he was brown hair with a beard. He was unusually... He had a beard like in high school. He was one of those kids.
I don't think I know him. No.
Is this a hair product guy?
Yeah, everyone says that.
Yeah, it's Paul Mitchell.
I was roommates with Paul Mitchell. Like, oh, did you he's a hair guy? Yeah. I'm like,
Moose
yes.
In your hand. Yeah. Shut the fuck up.
So while I was living with Paul Mitchell, we went to bars a lot. Bring in the drinking. Cue the drinking bit.
Yep.
We lived for drinking. It was a 2012, 13, 14 era.
Okay.
And that era, I had this really fucking cool, this is like a side tangent, very memento. Mm-hmm. I had a really cool apartment. I don't know if you ever went there, Nick, but I had this apartment in Phoenix, actually on the border of what's that shitty ass neighborhood?
You had a dope ass apartment
Phoenix?
There.
Phoenix?
Yeah. No.
You said, what's that shitty ass neighborhood? I said, Phoenix?
Phoenix? Oh my God. This guy. Glendale. Shots fired.
Hey, I'm taking this off of what you say about Phoenix. Yeah. He does not have nice things to say about Phoenix.
Yeah. Hence why most I'm in LA.
Time. Yeah.
But no.
I like Mesa.
I can't remember the neighborhood. It was in Peoria, on the border of Peoria, and like
Glendale sounds
central
like.
Or something.
Oh
no, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
it starts with an S.
Like by the Thunderbird High School.
Sweet. What the fuck? Okay, I'm looking it up. This is bothering me.
Man,
it's one of those. Bear with us. You've already been with us for over an hour. I think you can wait another minute. Well, come on, people.
Let's pander.
Where the drinking comes. Yeah, that's pander.
So, while I find this spot,
we're looking up this cross street. Is that what we're doing?
I'm zooming right in, man. We're going to find out. There's the road
of the O'Doyles. We're still on the O'Doyles, right?
Okay. They didn't live there, did they?
No, yeah. No, they didn't. A few of them came by, but I'm going to get to what the perplexing bit that makes this an entertaining story in just a moment. Is that Hatcher? Yeah, so what the fuck is this neighborhood called? Sunny Slope?
Sunny Slope, yeah, that makes sense. Central?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Yeah, Papago, Sunny Slope.
Sunny Slope area.
Yeah, so if you know anything about Arizona, Phoenix. Sunny Slope is like the Compton of Arizona.
Compton of Phoenix.
It is.
Okay. The border is on Cave Creek Road, and I was on the other side. I was right on the border.
Oh, the border of that
But
area.
I had a really fucking cool apartment.
I had an apartment
It was two
over
stories.
There, too. That's funny.
It was a two-story apartment, and it was only $500 a month, and I was splitting it.
I remember you telling me about that.
So it was like...
$250 a month.
Yeah, $250 a month is insane.
Yeah, plus utilities.
Rent. So,
I went over there. It was $400 and it was like a one bedroom, and I was like, "This is fucking easy."
Yeah. So, point is, during that time when we were hitting up bars and stuff, I found myself. I used to go to Mellow Mushroom, which I've talked about many times on the show.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I used to go to Mellow Mushroom over on in the North Valley, and
this is the bar we talked about in the last episode where the boyfriend of the girl I banged worked.
Mm-hmm. So I went, I was there, and I found myself hitching a ride with some people I just met to I burped away from the mic again. Sorry. There's a Irish pub north of there. Do you remember what it's called? It's called... I can't remember the name, but it doesn't matter. There's an Irish pub on, like...
in Happy Valley?
Like in Happy Valley, yeah, like over near... like you're going out to Anthem. You know what I'm talking about?
Fuck. I probably know if you said
there's
it,
some. There's probably two fans that are just going, "It's this place!" Like they know exactly what I'm talking about.
I remember you telling me, because when I had an apartment close to Anthem, you were like asking me if I wanted to go there, and I'm pretty sure it was next to that place. Yeah, so I know what you're talking about. I just don't remember the name.
But to give some credibility, this pub, DMX went there all the time, the rapper. Yeah. I don't know why, but he was always there.
Don't confuse him with the pianist, Sean, okay? It's DMX, all right?
Let's not get confused, Sean. The pianist.
The pianist.
Not penis, Sean.
In jail, he was the pianist.
Oh, damn.
Connolly's Sports Grill.
Connolly's, yeah, I remember. That was right by that apartment I had. Okay.
So I was at Connolly's one night, which was totally on a whim. And I know this story just sucks, but... I was there. on a whim. By the way, they have stripper poles. I'm showing Sean pictures right now. They have stripper poles in there. It must have been a strip club at some point.
You told me every bar in Phoenix has stripper poles.
Well, you'd be remiss. I'd be remiss if I denied that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, you see that? There's a stripper pole in the middle of the fucking bar.
That's what you do in a classy bar like that.
But yeah, I was at Connolly's one night on a whim with some strangers, and I met a girl, and I thought like we were hitting it off, and I was gonna go home with her, and then I got her number, and we like chatted a couple of times, but then a couple nights later, I'm all the way down. So the reason why I brought up the map, the geography of this, is to describe where I was and what was going on.
Miles.
All the way the fuck down at my place. Yeah, like 20, 25 miles, maybe 30 even. It's pretty fucking far. And I get a call at 2 a.m. And it's that girl.
Clean.
And I go down. I was like, well, maybe I'll get laid, so I'm gonna go after this. And she said she needed a ride from fucking Connolly's.
Thirsty.
So I went back there. Long story short, on the ride home, she asked if she could come to my place. On that ride, I found out she's the fucking sister-in-law of the O'Doyles.
So this would be, let's call her Melissa O'Doyle.
Yeah,
you didn't know
Melissa
her from high
Doyle.
School?
Let's
she went
that.
To high school with us.
Yeah, so I was dramatizing this little bit, but I had forgotten of her existence.
Oh,
she had to
this
remind
is like
me.
Like 3-4 years after high school. Okay.
Yes, and she looks a little different. But it was like, whoa, like small, crazy world. And so that's the origin story of how I came to be back friends with her, and I kind of mentioned her as a more established character in our last O'Doyle story, but it was just crazy how I was like, maybe I'm just was an airhead at the time. Obviously I was drinking a lot and going to bars and stuff, but I was like hanging out with her, and it didn't occur to me that we had multiple classes together in high school. And that never panned out. But the night, that night, nothing happened between us. She did crash at my house, but then the next night, we went to Connolly's again, and she conceived her baby that night with another guy. That's how quick.
Wow.
The things turn around. So I know that kid now, and he's like a fucking, like he talks.
He is Isn't like weird? Present day Vanilla Ice. He's just like really shitty.
Are you talking about the kid or the, like,
the, oh, I don't know the kid.
Kid or the baby
I don't
daddy?
Know the kid, the baby daddy.
Oh, yeah. We're talking about the dude.
I'm talking about the kid.
Oh,
I actually know the kid, like the kid and me and Melissa O'Doyle, we're all... I talked to them.
Really?
So,
still?
Yeah.
She pulled some
actually, she hit me up. She wanted to come
me.
Out to L.A.
Like, overseas, you can go to a building that has internet. That's it. And you have to take turns, and you only get 15 minutes each. And I went on Facebook, and she, for a couple weeks, was like throwing some moves at me. She's like, I wish you were here. Mm. This is shitty. And I wonder if that's like the same time, because that was 2012, 2013.
It probably was. Yeah. Well, she was. I figured out, like, and I, you know, this isn't a dating show by any means, but like we can all agree that like there are certain girls. There should be a term. There probably is a term for this. There are certain girls that just can't be single. They go from one yard to the next, right?
Are you talking about serial daters?
Serial daters, yeah. Well, there's probably a more like scientific
serial
term.
Serial screwers?
Like, you can't be single. You got to, like, she's one of them. And she's went the small period of time where she was actually single, and I'm shooting, you know,
your load.
Air quotes out.
Oh.
I'm shooting my load as I say that. Man, I'm so calm and collected.
So you're saying... girls that go from one dude to the next.
Yeah, well, she was like,
"Oh, he said it. I didn't say the inappropriate thing this time. He did." Sean,
what did you say?
I can't remember your last name.
You're saying chicks that go from one dude to the next. I said, Aren't those called whores?
Ah.
Oh, my God.
Your turn, Jordan.
And that's the, so, that's so my out.
So if the O'Doyles can identify themselves, that'll be unfortunate.
They're all sitting around in one room listening to this.
Any of those, yeah. I don't think any of those people. We don't even really need to shield their names. I don't think they're ever going to. Well, we do know people that might
know people. Yeah.
But I mean, if we're connecting all of these dots, they could probably
put it
together themselves.
Let them. That's fine.
Yeah. But the, I mean, the whole thing is that is like she was, when I do the air quotes, I'm meaning that she said she was single. But she's actually like still kind of dilly-dallying with her boyfriend that she's got one foot out the door with.
That sounds
like
that's
how it always works.
That's not what's
like
out.
I swear I'm 18 argument.
What'd you say,
Nick?
I said,
that's not what's hanging out. Let's be honest here.
Oh, my God.
I didn't say anything.
That night at Connolly's, there was a couple of things hanging out. I brought up the stripper poles because when I showed up, I was like, whoa!
If you're believing the I swear I'm single argument, you're also believing the I swear I'm 18 argument.
Uh oh. R. Kelly?
Yeah, R. Kelly.
On the stripper pole, it says Melissa O'Doyle was here.
My God.
You could probably tell from the trail.
There's a hazmat sticker just beneath it.
She was like abnormally thin. Like she's somebody that could never put on weight. And I bet you she
it's
was
crazy,
pregnant
right?
and didn't even show. Like, that's how thin.
Yeah.
She's like Angela from Office, like that.
Wow.
Well, she had a baby and just bounced right back. Like, it's kind of crazy.
You know, her boyfriend before that guy used to golf with me at the golf course sometimes. And what I was going to say last episode, me and Ian... the other guy from my wedding party that's made stories here before, I asked him if he dated her, and I couldn't remember if he did, and he told me that he didn't. But then I had, like, a remembrance. She she went to junior high with us, and she said that she dated him. And then, like, I remember, like, people finding out that that was a lie. And I'm thinking that he probably doesn't remember this, but like she just was totally embarrassed when I think she was swinging for the fence and hoping that she'd get a boyfriend out of this in some weird preteen way. And then after that embarrassment, she showed up to school wearing like all black all the time. And she in 120 degree heat Arizona summer, she would wear like these large trench coats. And we would call her Trinity because she looked like the Matrix.
Oh, yeah.
She'd be like on a swing and the thing would be like swapping the ground and stuff. It was ridiculous. Mm. But yeah, it came out of nowhere. I was like, oh shit, that's right. Trinity. That's who she is. She'd call her Trinity.
I was actually pulling up a picture for Sean. I actually have pictures. She's that. This girl
media?
Is so like, no, she's not. I think because of her husband, but it's because she's like so weird. Like, look, I'm showing in our text conversation. Like a lot of her stuff, it would suggest that she's like really into me. Like all of this, the hearts and the kissy emojis, and it's weird. And she sends me the deleted. I have like auto delete on, but she periodically sends me videos and pictures of her, and I'm just like, no one else, no other married woman I've ever met does this. Just like,
I don't think she
sends
is
me
anymore.
Pictures of her.
I thought they were divorced.
Oh no, they're totally together. Oh. Last I talked to her was February 12th.
Oh shit.
And
well, coming out of the end of the COVID-19 lockdown, maybe they aren't.
Yeah, probably. But I mean, he had her locked down, you know, from the day after
Vanilla Ice.
I had my
Vanilla
chance.
Ice O'Doyle.
Oh, they locked him down. I got you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Good Lord.
So that's it's an interesting small world occurrence, kind of. I mean, it was a messy-ass story, but I'll have to think of more stories that have to do with the O'Doyles.
I'll think of a couple. you pander while I close up this episode.
Yeah, it might be. Might be a completely separate podcast. You guys doing a Doyle's podcast.
The O'Doyles.
No Doyles.
But, like, O'Doyle that's rules. The thing, Sean. This thing goes deep. We're going to find out that you were here on a business trip 1 year and, like, somehow, like, are in this too. It's that insane.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I might have run into him when I was in Mesa.
Oh, I do have a. I have a. Oh my God, I have another one.
My phone's gonna die. Hurry
can
up. We,
can I do it?
Go.
Can I do it? Okay, I'm gonna do a short one. So, lead O'Doyle chick that you were referencing that owned the tattoo shop that had the fake tits and that was the tattoo artist slash model.
Let's call her Titty O'Doyle.
Titty O'Doyle. So Titty O.
Titty O.
So I think I know who this is.
Like my Yu-Gi-Oh. Neighbor and my yeah Titty O.
Titty O.
So my neighbor over at my dad's old house that I lived in high school,
yeah,
I was visiting to help him finish moving out of that house.
Mm-hmm.
And he had made friends with some new neighbors. And while we were done packing up some boxes, it was like, oh, we'll have some beers. Bring it back to the beers, to the beer, the drinking.
Yeah.
So call back to the theme. But no, we were like, oh, let's go have some beers because we saw that their garage was open.
Mm-hmm.
I walked over there, and we had some beers with the neighbor, and I'm checking out their like little garage, you know, man cave.
He's
situation.
Got a poster of her.
He's got a poster of Titty O'Doyle. I'm like, you gotta be kidding
Get the
me.
Get fuck out of here. Wow. Yeah.
Titty O'Doyle gets her ass.
That's what I'm saying, Sean. You could be like this dude and like have jacked off to Titty O'Doyle and not even known it. And now you're part of the web. It's crazy.
Yeah. Hope you cleaned it up.
O'Doyle's web.
Doyle's web.
O'Doyle's web.
We like move Charlotte's web out of the way and put this one up.
Right?
Oh my God, that is hilarious. I wish I could remember her name because I was gonna look it up.
I know her name, but I don't want to say it.
Okay, you have to text it to me.
Yeah.
I can't remember her name, but yeah, fucking A. That's a good episode, man.
Yes, sir.
That was fun.
Thanks for joining us, Sean. Hopefully we can have you back soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it.
Well, cheers to y'all at home. Thanks for listening. And I guess, you know, we'll
talk about
you keep
next week.
Listening. We'll keep arguing.
Oh.
And what are we going to talk about next
week?
We
should do this at the end. You think of something, and I'll say this real quick. I think we should do this at the end of every episode because I've had people ask me. So you can find Jordan at Jordan No More, me at Nick without a K, Nick the Wordsmith on Twitter. We have The Real Flick of the Week on Instagram. Sean, you want to plug anything?
Oh, no, I appreciate that. They can find me on Instagram at Podcast Sean.
At Podcast.
S-H-A-W-N.
Yeah, no.
The real Sean, the correct Sean.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's good. That's good to have the call out. I always forget to do that. But yeah, I think what we're going to try and do, and maybe we can hear back from our audience about this. I think it would be fun to do some watch-alongs.
Yes.
I noticed that they're doing a lot of that with, you know, hence because of the virus and stay-at-home order. But I think it's probably the next evolution of not entirely our episodes because we would like to have just straight conversations about, you know, like breaking down of movies and what our flick of the week is. But
perfect.
Just putting the movie on and then having us sit around and like we are right now, but having the movie on basically on mute or we run it to our headphones.
Or closed caption.
And then we'll know what we're going to do is we'll put a beep at the beginning when we decide to start the movie. So if you want to watch the movie with us in tandem.
Like 90s school with like the book reading things you put on the CD.
Yeah.
When you hear the boop, turn the page.
Yeah. Exactly, but with movies.
Right.
Yeah. So I think that's what we're going to do.
I wish we had that lady do it. With I think she's out there somewhere.
So if you... I bet we could do that. We could pull that sound bite somewhere.
Probably.
When you hear the...
Boop. Press play on your DVD player. Or
the page.
Or maybe I can get... My mom has a good radio voice. Maybe I could get her to do the... to do that sound bite. That'd be funny.
That'd be great.
But so let us know in the comments. We don't really have comments, do we? Let us know on Twitter or Instagram.
Instagram, Twitter. Yep. There we go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If what you think we should watch, do it for our first watch along. I have some ideas. But I mean, we might be able to get a good idea from our audience.
I say we watch like something like out of this world, just so we can laugh with it, like something really gory. And just like the sound of it would make everybody laugh. Like whenever we're like, oh shit, that guy just lost his balls. Like everybody would just like totally. Yeah, exactly. Like that. See, you know, it works. So.
See, I think it would be good to have, that's what I love about listening to like commentaries. So if you listen to like behind the scenes commentaries on YouTube and you're not watching the movie, you can still kind of hear a little bit of the movie in the background.
Yep.
And it's funny when it's like an action scene and you have these directors and actors like talking and you hear like,
and then they're so like,
but then they're just like, you know, wow, that was an interesting time when we were shooting that scene. And yeah, I was sitting there, I was falling asleep on the set.
Yeah,
it's just funny. They're totally divorced from what's going on the screen.
Exactly.
So, but that's what I think it'll be a fun, engaging. So we'll do watch along episodes every once in a while, and let us know what you think we should watch. Mm-hmm. I think next week we'll probably lead with that, and see where it goes. So, anyways, I think that's a good place to end it.
All right, keep listening to podcasts. Keep watching movies. Peace.
All right. Peace.